Thank you very much to Elfie, and a really warm welcome to you at Berwick Street, as well as all the people here at the piano. I hope this comes across loud and clear. Now, a slight disclaimer before I begin this evening, which was I was fully expecting to preach and preach a sermon to you. But this morning in our services, we had an all-age talk, and there was a couple of young adults there that said, why do you only have this in the morning? Like, could we not have something a bit different in the evening? I said, no, in the evening, we have a proper sermon. And they said, well, you know, Tim Capel's away, and can't we not sort of have something a little bit different? So I thought, well, good idea, we'll have something a little bit different. So here we are, a few thoughts, not really a whole sermon, but a few thoughts on those wonderful verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll come back to that in a second, but first of all, have a look at this fella up on the screen who should appear for you, a fine fellow of a man. Anyone know who this is? Yes, well done. The clue's in the next slide. Here we are. The ship called the... Oh, this is disappointing. The Endurance. And he, Shackleton, you may know, tried to make three trips to the South Pole. Extraordinary man that he was. And obviously explorer, adventurer. And each of those trips was incredibly arduous and difficult, in that the distance to be covered to the South Pole was 750 miles in each direction. Imagine that, 750 miles in each direction. The closest he got was on the second trip, when he got within 97 miles, and then they had to turn back because they ran out of food. So they'd put food in drops on the way back. But they couldn't make the last 97 miles to actually get there. Now, this here was the third trip, disaster, when the ship got, having been in ice for most of the year, got crushed, and they had to abandon ship. And then if you go to the next slide, here they are getting on this sort of dinghy type of lifeboat, and he sets off with how many people are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 or something. And they sail for 800 miles to South Georgia to go and get help to come back and pick up the rest of the crew. 800 miles, and they made it. They did it. Absolutely extraordinary. Now, Shackleton was an extraordinary man, but in thinking about his exploits, I think it gives us a little insight into those verses that we had read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, because there we read about another journey. Shackleton made his journeys. And if you're a Christian here tonight, you also are on a journey. Now, Christians of a previous age, I think, were very aware of this, and maybe more aware than we are, that this world was not their home. That when people follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they follow someone who is taking them on a journey to a destination. We are pilgrims. That was the word they used, pilgrims, going through this foreign world, the world in which we live, which is not our home. And we are heading through it to another destination, to another location, another home, the land of heaven. And unlike poor old Shackleton, who never did get to the location he wanted to get to, we are assured of reaching our destination. But to get there, there will be obstacles, there will be difficulties, there will be hardships, just as Shackleton faced. And that's what we're thinking about tonight, is how we're going to go about this. Now, those verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4 were written by the Apostle Paul, and he wrote them quite near the end of his life. In verse 6, he speaks of the fact that his life was being poured out like a drink offering. In other words, he knew that his life was at the end. And as he looks back on his life, he's got these three great reflections, which we're going to spend a moment or two on this evening thinking about. He says three things. The first thing he says is, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. The second thing, I have finished the race. And the third thing, I have kept the faith. Let's have a think about those. First of all, I have fought the good fight. Because the Christian life is a fight. It's a battle. It requires effort. If you want to just live the Christian life by going with the flow, you will not survive as a Christian. Cannot be done. because the Christian life is described at times like a fight. And that means it requires determination and effort and courage and conviction. Now, it's actually described here as the good fight. I've fought the good fight. That's because some fights you actually don't really want to get into. You know, like kids don't want to get into a fight in the playground. Kids shouldn't be fighting with their adults. We shouldn't be fighting with people at work. We shouldn't be fighting in the world. As far as it's possible, we should live at peace with everyone. So some fights you want to avoid. And Christians would do very well to avoid needless bickering and rubbing people up the wrong way and sometimes us provoking those kind of fights that really we shouldn't be engaged in. But there is a type of fight we do want to be engaged in. I have fought the good fight, says Paul. And that is the fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, that is the culture that speaks against God. The flesh, that is the sinful flesh within us, that is that wants to do the wrong thing. And the devil, that is the real enemy of every Christian who exists, who is trying to take us away from Christ. So it's absolutely true that God has a plan for your life, and the devil also has a plan. And his plan is to try and take you away from Jesus Christ, and so we need to resist him. And the way that we resist him is by engaging in the fight and fighting against sin. Now, at this point, I'm just going to go off stage for a moment and get a little a prop. I'm going to ask a couple of my friends to come down the front, give me a hand. Tim and Elfie, give them a round of applause. Okay, now Elfie, you put those on, and Tim, you come up here, and we need to get in shot so that Berwick Street can see us. And what I thought would be very important and interesting for us is to have a live reenactment and a proper fight on stage. So here, we've got Meet Tim, otherwise known as Sin, here is something that needs to be battled against. Elfie, you look as if you're struggling a little bit. Right there. Yep. So you go and stand over there, and probably this way there. Are we all right, Philip? Yep, we got that. And Elfie, what I'm going to do is, because as Christians we need to be discerning, I'm going to read out some qualities. And when they are good qualities, Elfie, you're looking at me, when they're good qualities, you need to embrace them. Okay, give us an embrace. Yes. Because when we have something good in life, we need to embrace it and say, yes, I need some more of that. God, please give me some more of that. But when they are bad qualities, like sin, then we need to knock them out because we've got to fight against those. We've got to fight against the sin in our life, okay? So, Elfie, if I say something like faithfulness, you'll do, yes, well done. And if I say something like lies, you will. Okay, you're getting the hang. You can move forward a bit, I reckon. Give Elfie, yeah, that's right, more of a swing. Okay, so here we go. Are you ready, Elfie? One, two, three. Is this in shot, Philip? This is important we don't miss this. Okay, one, two, three. Elfie, goodness. Okay, that was too easy. Another one. Elfie, patience. We all need more patience. Embrace that patience. Elfie, gentleness. Elfie, jealousy. Oh, it's quite hard. So we need to fight against jealousy and envy. And when we're talking jealousy and envy, that means seeing other people in a situation that we would love to be in. We see the house they live in. We see the kind of life they seem to have. We see the, perhaps the relationship they seem to have. We see things from the outside and we quickly get jealous and we've got to put those thoughts to death. Fight against them. Okay, Elfie, kindness. Elfie, boasting. Oh, yeah. Elfie, lust. Elfie, truthfulness. Embrace that truthfulness. We've got to be truthful. Speak the truth. Don't worry what people think about you. Tell the truth, always. Elfie, pride. Now, we've got to fight against pride. Pride is that thing that hates being wrong in front of other people. Pride is that thing that hates being laughed at. Pride is that thing that means that sometimes we won't tell the truth because we think someone else will think less of us. We won't admit our sins because we're worried that someone will think less of us. And we've got to fight the good fight and get over it and say, actually, my pride has gone. It was put to death at the cross. I need to put this to death continually. Elfie, disrespect.
Oh,
that was kind. Not very full of conviction there. Elfie, thoughtfulness. Yes. You know, when someone's thoughtful, you know, I mean, some people in church are amazing. They think of doing things for other people that never occur to me. And they think of doing them. Not only do they think, they then go and actually do them and put them into practice. Kind acts and acts of generosity and that sort of thing. Elfie, gossip. gossip, that is, sometimes we just don't need to say it. We didn't need to say that thing that puts someone else down. Elfie, rudeness. Okay, you've done very well. Give Tim in particular a big clap. Thank you. Now, in the Christian life, we've got to make an effort. If we're going to make any progress this year ahead, we've got to embrace some things and we've got to fight the good fight against other things. And I think a really helpful thing is to be able to name at least one sin that you're fighting. Like if someone would say to you, so what's a battle for you? And you can't name anything. Maybe that's because we're not really in the battle. And even to have one sin that we're definitely trying to tackle is a serious sign that we're, is a sign that we're serious about trying to tackle other sins as well. So maybe if there's nothing that you can think of off the top of your head, maybe that's a good thing to think about as well on the way home and think, actually, what am I going to tackle in this year ahead? What do I want to try and get on top of as a sin? We need to fight the good fight. And the great thing is that Jesus will help us. We're not alone fighting this. His Holy Spirit is within us to make us holy. He will help us at every step of the way. Okay, that's the first thing. Fight the good fight. Then there's a second part where the Apostle Paul says this. I have finished the race. I have finished the race. Now, we all know, anyone that's been to school and can remember, knows what it is to run in a race. It's the most horrific experience you can possibly ever have. And most of us did it at some point and felt that we came in the bottom two or three in some sort of race or whatever. To run a race requires effort, perhaps endurance, certainly fitness of some level or other. And the Apostle Paul says that the Christian life is a race. I have finished the race. But it's a race that's a little bit different to every other kind of race. Any other race that people race, whether it's sort of at the Olympics or at school level or any level in between, how many winners are there? Uno. Only one winner. That's why it's so painful, because it was never us, that type of thing. But in the Christian life, everyone is a winner if they finish the race. Now, you can be a loser, and the loser in the Christian race is the one that doesn't finish. It's the one that's given up. And truth be told, I don't want to be too downcast about this, but there are people who are no longer at Latimer who would have been here a year ago, or certainly 2 years ago, because they've stopped following Jesus. Now, maybe they're just having a rest on the sidelines, and maybe they'll get back into the race, and we need to pray that they do. But the point is that everyone will win this race who actually gets to the end. And the way to get to the finish line is to keep on following Jesus, step by step, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, one step at a time. It's absolutely fine to fall down in the race. It's okay to fall over. You just need to get back up and keep on running. And that's what the Christian life is. It's a continual process of stumbling and then getting back up and keeping on running. And he'll help us. God will help us as we do so. Now, there are a few obstacles in the race and there are some difficulties. Sometimes you can actually run a bit easier and it feels like you're going downhill and Christian life's a little bit easier. But there's plenty of other times when it feels as if, oh my goodness, is this incline ever going to end? This is hard work. And that's the standard thing for the Christian life. It is quite hard work. But at every step, the key is we need to keep on running. Now, whether you're someone's little preschooler and they're just beginning to follow Jesus, or they're into primary school and they're beginning to know Jesus a bit better, or they move to secondary school and they're beginning to get some convictions, there are opportunities to keep on running and opportunities also to give up And so we need to be those who keep on going. It may be we're the only person in our class who follows Jesus, but we want to be the one who keeps on running anyway, who isn't put off. Even if we say, look, even if it's the whole world who doesn't follow Jesus, I don't mind, I'll be the one who does. And we need a bit of that kind of bloody-mindedness, if you don't mind me putting it that way, to say, I am going to keep on with this race. Leave school, you go to university or you start work, and there can be some difficulties there and some pressure put on us, perhaps opportunities for us to go astray. We need to keep on following Jesus. And at every step in life, whatever decade of life we're in, there are opportunities to follow Jesus, and also there are distractions and things that can easily take us away from Jesus. So we just need to remember that the winners are those who finish the race. We need to keep to finish, and the way to finish is to keep on walking step by step, step by step. Now, here's the important thing. You're not alone in the race, but the other people in the Christian race are not competitors. They are there to help you. In the Christian life, God has given us lots of people to be a support to us and for us to be a support to them. So the aim is not just, will I get to the end in the Christian life, but how many other people can I help get to the end as well? Now, just to try and prove a point or make this a bit clearer for us, we're going to watch a little video, and I hope this comes across loud and clear. So we'll watch this. It's a couple of minutes long, and then have a think about it afterwards.
Johnny has to win and to be sure of taking the title. And right now, he seems to have lost control of his legs, and this is worrying. Oh, and he's starting to slow, and there is a little way to go. There's half a K to go, and Johnny is running out of time and is losing. He's losing his sense of direction. This is worrying. Oh, goodness me. This is a horrible sight. Jonathan Brownlee has lost it now and has staggered to a stop at the side of the course, and Alistair's stopped to help him along. And Alistair is going to try and carry his brother home. Dramatic scenes in Cozumel as the Olympic champion carries his younger brother towards the podium.
Oh my God, I cannot believe what we are seeing here, Matt. Is this allowed? Is he allowed to help his brother? You know, is that part of the rules? I'm not too sure. We've never seen anything like this before.
Unbelievable scenes. Unbelievable scenes in Cozumel. The Brownlee brothers arm in arm, but it's not by way of celebration. Henry Schoeman's celebrating. He's going to win this race in Cozumel out of nowhere. But we have to be concerned about the health of Jonathan Brownlee, and they're not even on the final stretch yet. Schoeman wins in Cozumel. The brothers are coming home arm in arm to finish in second and third, but Johnny can hardly stand. And Alistair is having to drag him across the line and pushing him home for second. Johnny finishes in second. Goodness me, what an incredible conclusion here in Cozumel. I've never seen anything like that anywhere in world sport. Worrying scenes all round.
Well, we don't need to get too sentimental about that, but there's some good national stereotypes there with the South African winning anyway, and the English commentator wondering whether the rules have been followed. That's quite moving, isn't it? And part of what makes it moving is, who is it that helps the struggling athlete? It's his brother. It's his brother who, you think of how they grew up, you think of how they would have fought against each other and all the way through, raced against each other. But when it comes to it, he puts his arm around him and helps him over the line. Now, in the Christian life, God has given us many brothers and sisters to do the same for us. I just want to remind you this evening that you're not alone as you live the Christian life. Maybe you feel alone, or You've sort of always thought of it in individual terms. But God has given you and each one of us many brothers and sisters to help us live the Christian life. And that's what we're here for here. We're here for you. I'll tell you one thing. Nothing, I think, is a greater encouragement than someone in church life saying, I've got a bit of an issue. Would you mind praying for me in this? Oh, of course. I mean, that would be an absolute pleasure. And if you're the person that shares that with someone else and ask them, there are people here who would be only too happy to pray for you and to support you. And sometimes our problem is that we just imagine it's an individual race and we haven't sort of seen the crowd that God has given us to help us across the line. And of course, the flip side of that is actually wanting to live the Christian life to help as many people as possible over that line. That's what we're here for. The aim is not, can I get to the finish line, but how many others can I help along the way? And I tell you that every time you come to church and make that decision on a Sunday, every time you make that decision to go to a growth group and to say no to something else when there was a clash in the diary or whatever it was, every time you make the decision to meet up with someone else, another Christian, deliberately, it's a way of metaphorically putting your arm around someone and encouraging them in the Christian life. That's what you're doing. Why don't we make that an aim in 2022? Now, of course, the way to eat an elephant is slice by slice. The way to run a long race, I imagine, is kilometre by kilometre type of thing. And the way to live the Christian life is day by day. The Bible is always concerned about today. Always today. 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 And so one day at a time, we keep putting our foot in front, one foot in front of the other, following the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll help us to the end. And there'll come a time when we're like that young fella there, we sort of crash down on the floor, sort of, you know, slump through the finish line, look up, and there will be Jesus in front of us, ready to pick us up and welcome us into his heaven. So, I have fought the good fight, said the apostle, I have finished the race. And then he has a third thing. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith because Paul knew many people who had not kept the faith, who sadly had started out but had stopped following Jesus Christ. To keep the faith means to still believe in the one God, the one true and living God, who's revealed himself through the one Lord, Jesus Christ. It means to keep believing in the one Savior, Jesus, who has given us his one Spirit, by whom we are united. Now, back in a second to the camera. Hang on. Sometimes you've got something in life that's so precious. Here we are. Something so precious, it's got to be kept in a safe bag. Here we are. Someone that could give me a hand with this. Lottie, thanks very much. Now, this is carefully padlocked. Lock and key, as they say. There's no magic show here. This is you're done. And if you can just open that, please. Might need to turn the. There we are. Now put your hand inside there. A Bible. Of course. Of course. Is there anything else in there while you're there? Yeah, you can have the chocolates. That's what you get in an all-age talk. You always get chocolate. You can go have a seat. Thanks very much. That's the benefit of an all-age talk, was get chocolates. Now, the Bible, the most precious thing that God has given us, to keep the faith means we keep believing what is here. Not what we think was there, not what our memory tells us what was there, but what is actually here. We keep believing in the Lord who is revealed in the Scriptures. We grow in an appetite for the Scriptures and we say, here I stand. I stand on this. I live by this and I die by this. I believe this. You can believe other things, but I believe this. That's what it means to keep the faith. Now, in truth, this is a terrible illustration because the way you keep the faith is actually not by locking it up in somewhere safe. It's by opening it and teaching it to other people. That's how we keep the Christian faith, reminding us each other of the truths that are here. To keep the faith means to teach it to perhaps within our families, you've got a brother or a sister you could read the Bible with. Certainly within the Christian family, You've got a brother or a sister you can meet with to read the Bible. Sometimes there are opportunities to teach the faith to groups within church. And Shelley here does a fantastic job with the kids ministry. But she needs help. She can't teach all the kids by herself. There are teams of people who need to be taught on Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons and various times during the week. And if you know that you're free at certain times, or you're free on a Sunday morning, or you're free at Sunday at 4 o'clock, and you could help teach Sunday school, why don't you ask for an opportunity to do that and say, look, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing, but if you give me some training, I'm willing to be trained. Because as we teach groups and teach each other, we're helping others keep the faith, and we'll help ourselves keep the faith at the same time. So Paul says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. But you'll notice there was actually one more thing as well. Got that verse up on the screen? Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul says here that having kept the faith, I know that there is a crown in store for me. He is looking forward to this wonderful day that lies ahead, when the Lord Jesus Christ will gather all of his people from down the ages and across the world, and will crown us. That is, the King of Kings will make us kings and queens in heaven. That is, to reign with him. He will share heaven with his people. The new heavens and the new earth, which are a place which is absolutely physical and abundant in its richness, he will slice it up and will divide it amongst his people. He will invite us, all of his people, to share it with him. In fact, there'll be an incredible role reversal. To those in this world who had nothing, to those in this world who were followers of Jesus but owned absolutely nothing, they will get a rich share in the inheritance to come. And you can see how Paul is looking forward to this. He has in store for me the crown of righteousness. Now, the thing that strikes me about that is how amazing it is, because Paul is about to be executed. He's saying, my life is about to be poured out like a drink offering. And if I were him, I'd be thinking about the execution to come. But he's looking past that, and he looks forward to the crown to be given. And you notice here how he says it's a crown that isn't for Paul alone. You don't have to be an apostle to get this. What you do have to do is to long for his appearing. For one of the marks of true Christians is that they look forward to the return of Christ. And we want to be those people at Latimer who this year ahead are craning our necks for the return of Christ. This is what we're looking forward to. Others around us will be sinking their anchors into this world. They'll be thinking about property. They'll be thinking about investments. They'll be thinking about things in this world. But we're thinking about the life of the world to come. We're longing for the appearing of Jesus. We're looking forward to his return. And to all those who are longing, he will one day give the crown of righteousness. And my friends, that crown will come to you. I thought I wouldn't do an illustration of that, because whatever I do will devalue the crown that Jesus will give. It'll be a day that is beyond our wildest dreams, our most extravagant imaginations. Whatever you think heaven will be like, this will be a million times better. So we need to be those who make it to the end. That's why we need to fight the good fight. There's a fight to be fought. We need to run the race in front of us. There is a race to be run. We need to keep the faith, actively growing in our faith in this year ahead. There's a faith to be kept. If we do those things and we look forward to the return of Christ, then we will one day inherit the crown that will be ours, will be a gift, courtesy of the generosity of Jesus himself. Let's say a prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great generosity to us. We thank you that you've not left us alone in the Christian life. You've given us your own Holy Spirit so that you are always with us. And we thank you too for our brothers and sisters that you put alongside us to encourage us, and for us to encourage them in their faith as well. Do pray for us individually and us together as a church, that you would help us to run the race in this year ahead, to fight the good fight and to keep the faith. And help us, we pray, always to look forward to the return of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to finish by singing a couple of songs.